Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl. With a bang bang. Bounce with it, girl. Dance with it, girl. Get with it, girl. With a bang bang.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Friday night and I won't be long. Gotta do my hair, put my makeup on.
Chinch, what's up, man? How you doing, brother? Happy Friday to
you. Happy fun bag. Happy fun bag Friday.
Fun bags, yeah.
Dude, there's a heat wave going on down here in New York. 90 every day.
Same here, too. Same here, too, in Pittsburgh, bro. It's so freaking hot. I'm going to Cincinnati this weekend for pretty cool. Our Miracle League is traveling on a bus to play the Cincinnati Reds Miracle League.
No way.
It's kind of cool. Not the Cincinnati Reds. Joe Nuxall's son, Kim Nuxall. It's the Joe Nuxall Miracle League fields. And, you know, I was part of them starting, and Kim has been a big part of my leagues. And last year he came up for an event, and we're like, dude, all these kids in the country have travel baseball. They all travel to different things. Our kids just play, like, why don't we do a travel? Why don't we'll travel to play you, and next year you come travel to play us.
That's
so
awesome.
We're going tomorrow. It's going to be super hot there, but we're going tomorrow. We're really excited, dude. It's going to be freaking awesome.
And all
awesome.
The kids are flying
dude,
in
on
or
a bus. We got them on a bus. Yeah,
that's
we ran
fun.
On a bus.
That's more fun.
We got a police escort for the kids. Yeah, it's going to be awesome, dude. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That is so great. Can you tell people for who don't know the Miracle League? What is it?
Yeah, because Miracle League. We're the Miracle League of the South Hills. We're playing against the Fairfield Miracle League, which is out in Cincinnati. You know, it's a field for special needs kids. A lot of our kids, we say kids of all abilities, really, but you know, a lot of our kids have autism or Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or just, you know, different kind of needs. And you know, this Miracle League is a great place because it was created for kids in wheelchairs that, you know, it's a rubberized surface that the wheelchairs could go on and that all kids of all abilities could play baseball. And that was why it was created years ago back in Alabama. Yeah. And here we are in 2022. We've been running ours for 10 years, but it's a wonderful thing. To learn more about ours or any Miracle League field, you can go to MiracleLeagueSouthHills.org and check it out. But it's just a really cool thing, Chinch. We serve over 350 kids with special needs. Incredible.
It's incredible. And just watching it, oh my goodness. We had Jean Fruth on. We have her book. She went to a Miracle League thing. And by the way, go to Casey's Twitter account and go to any of those websites. It is so cool to watch you guys. And Sean's out there in the middle of the field. First of all, you announced a lot of the games, right?
Yeah.
I saw you out there dancing with a bunch of the kids, like during
pitch
the breaks
them,
and stuff.
Dude, I get more joy of it than they do. I'm like, I love this. Kids have so much energy and they're so excited to be there. It's how it should be, brother.
Yeah, right? And they rip, by the way. We're not talking like...
Dude, some of these kids can crush... Some of these kids can crush the ball. Yeah. I had to change the ball to a softer ball because it was like, it's getting dangerous out here.
Really?
Yeah, a few years ago, I changed the ball.
Holy cow, that makes sense. Yeah, because it's...
Yeah, you know, if I'm scared, we got to change it up.
Yeah. But so anyway, we got something else in common now. The mixtape tour. You went?
Oh my God, dude. Dude, my buddy Carmen calls me the other day. He's like, hey, bro, do you and Sarah want to go to the mixtape tour? And I'm like, only because of your recommendation. I was like, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
So, dude, I went... I'm not even New Kids on the Block fan, but I'm kind of a Donnie Wahlberg fan. Blue Bloods, all that stuff. But he came out. I mean, they're grinding a little bit singing, but I mean, dude, it was all women my age. Packed house, probably 12,000 people, PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Place was going crazy for New Kids. Then next thing you know, En Vogue comes out. They could still sing.
They have pipes.
En Vogue comes out. And what it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it.
So good.
Yeah. So they came out, they're singing that, and then bam, the lights go out, and then Rick Astley pops up over here. You're like, this is unbelievable. Then Salt Pepper comes out saying, push it real good, burl, burl, burl. You know, it was like 80s awesomeness for like a couple hours.
Oh, so good.
It's unbelievable. It
takes you back, right?
So it was cool. Awesome, dude.
It really
was awesome.
They put on a
hell
of a
show. And the guys
show.
From Naughty by Nature, what the two of the members that were doing they were like DJing it at the beginning.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's how I met one of those guys. That tour, I'm telling you, anybody who likes music, you gotta go see it. The tickets aren't as expensive as some bands you go see. You're seeing four like legends from the 80s.
What would be another good one? Like what would be I'm gonna look that
question.
Up. What would be another good four bands?
80s,
you know what I mean, like 80s bands, like 80s, you know.
Let's see, I mean, you could go like a little more like See, it's hard. You know, like pop bands, we're looking at, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna bring some up too. Anyone out there that watches this show, who are the four bands you would see for an '80s mixtape?
Yeah. How about the Culture Club?
Oh yeah, I like the Culture Club, but they can't be too big, right? They can't sell it out themselves. True. This is a genius idea because it's four bands that were really good at one time,
right?
And now they're just doing their thing.
How about the Bengals?
Oh, I love them, dude.
They'd be good. Aha,
dude.
I'm looking at
dude. Do you know who I'm going to see August 12th?
Who?
Joan Jett.
Yes, that's a good
Joan
tour.
Jett, Poison, and Motley Crue.
My uncle, Jess's uncle down in Florida, for their anniversary, we got the family got them tickets to go see that concert, and they said it was unreal. Both of them lost their voices.
Oh, bro,
it was like old school. That's going to be a good one for you.
Dude, what about Tiffany? What if Tiffany came out and she said, put your arms around me and we tumble to the ground and then say...
Whoa, I don't think I ever told you the story, and I have video, which I'll put on our YouTube page. Dude, so the mixtape tour a couple of years ago, Tiffany was there, okay?
Oh, she was?
And she... Man, if I could pull this up on my phone
right
now.
Was she singing?
She sang. I think we're alone now. Instead of En Vogue and Rick Astley, it was Tiffany and... oh my God, who's the other one? The blonde one.
Debbie Gibson.
But so we were in the front row of like a side section where, you know, like in front of us was where, you know, all the people kind of stand around. And she came down the line and she was singing and she comes down the line and I was right there and I was like, Tiffany. And she was high-fiving everybody. No joke. I'm not kidding. She looked directly into my eyes. And then walked and just ignored.
Said, I think we're alone now.
Ignored my handshake. Jess thought it was the greatest thing she's ever seen.
What?
I gotta find it.
I thought she was gonna look in your eyes and say, "Hey, Jess, you got a good looking man right here."
No, it was quite the opposite. She was like, "Who is this old guy in my concert? Who else could?"
Dude, what if we need like? What if Cyndi Lauper came back with Blondie? Dude,
I love her. She Long
men,
Island.
Men at work.
Men at Work would be great. Blondie would be great.
And let me see.
Let's see what else. Toto?
Are they too big?
They're too big. Coolin' the Gang?
And Nina from 99 Red Love Balloons floating in the summer sky.
That was my favorite song back in the day.
Dude, have you ever seen Dire Straits? That's my bucket list.
That's one of my favorite bands. Mark Knopfler is one of my favorite guitarists. Like, I rock out to Dire Straits all the time. Dire Straits is the first... like group that's on like my playlists on like most playlists.
So legit, dude. So legit.
What about the Pet Shop Boys? Remember them?
Yeah, I like the Pet Shop Boys. What about Simple Minds?
Yes. They might be a little too big.
They might be too big, yeah.
What else?
What about Bryan Adams? He's too big, huh?
He's too big. He's got so much money in Canada, he don't need to come down. The Thompson Twins, remember them?
Let's bring Milli Vanilli back and see if they can sing now in 2022. Well, dude,
I think one of them died.
Oh shit! Sorry,
it's not your fault. You didn't kill him.
Rest in peace. I did not know. Jeez,
yeah, they had a tough run once they got busted.
Oh my God!
What are you gonna do? Wait, what else we got here? This is good,
Mister.
Man, some artists were so big. I wouldn't even.
I know.
Insult them, but it's not that. Eric B and Rakim. That'd be a good one.
Yeah,
Hall & Oates is too big, right?
Hall & Oates is way too big, dude.
That personally.
Wait, yeah, dude. Don't talk down on Hall & Oates. Seriously, bro. I have them lined up right now.
My brother.
I sing it to Sarah sometimes. Sarah, smile.
You know who my brother was really into? My brother was in like before goth was cool. My brother was into like goth stuff. He loved The Cure and like.
Oh yeah, The Cure's awesome, dude.
Yeah. He used to dress like that. I dressed like my brother gave me his clothes one Halloween, and I went as a punk. And it was just what my brother wears on like a Tuesday where he used to go to school.
it must have drove Dr. Chin crazy.
No, my mom used to say, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're going to get your school clothes or whatever, and let's just say, you know, back when we were kids, it's like $50 or $100. Go get a couple pairs of pants, get a couple dress shirts, whatever. My brother would get like a $48 sweater, and that was it. My mother would be like, "What did you do? You spent all the money on one shirt." It's so funny. speaking of growing up on Long Island, by the way, though, we got a problem, dude. We talked sharks last week. It's getting worse, dude. Worse. more another multiple shark sightings since last week than we did it. Okay, I'm looking at some notes here. Six times this summer, a shark has bitten somebody on the waters off of Long Island. Six times so far. Okay, there was another one. There was another one. A kid got his foot bit in on one of the little islands around here. But then this is bananas. So yesterday, where are we here? In Rockaway. Rockaway is like the town for the retired mobsters and their families. A lot of them. No offense, but people look great. This was yesterday, dude.
Retired mobsters.
This was yesterday, Sean. This was yesterday. There it is.
Shark breach.
There was a guy teaching his kid how to surf, and they had just like kind of walked out of the ocean to take a break, and this thing popped up. Are you looking at that?
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. I'm going to the Jersey Shore for 2 weeks. I don't really like this conversation. I just want to jump in. I just want to, ignorance is bliss, bro. I just want to jump in the water in the morning by myself, look out at the ocean, go, wow.
I love it too. Dude, it's my favorite thing. The ocean is my favorite thing in the world. And like, I am not allowed, justice not allowing me in the ocean. And I understand. Here, this was the juvenile great white that was found off the shore of about 20 minutes from where I live right now. That's quag.
Really?
Uh-huh. That's a juvenile great white. Look.
Oh, my gosh, dude. How, that is not okay on so many levels.
Imagine? No, I can't imagine. No. You'll be fine, though. Wait, you want to know what they're doing? This will give you a little feeling of safety. Like, all the steps they've done to save, you know, people's lives when they go in the water. All right, let's see. Where is it here? Here's the steps. Okay, ready? This has happened in the last, like, 3 days. They've said, screw it, ready? Lifeguard staffing increased by 25% at all ocean beaches, including overtime. They're going to make a lot of money going, okay? That's 2 to 4 more lifeguards at each field than there have been, okay? Remember I told you about the drones?
Yeah.
Enhanced drone beach surveillance program. Like, so Jones Beach State Park, they have, what do they have now? They're going to have their drone surveillance. It's usually they usually do it in 4 mile stretches. The drones are now covering 11 mile stretches on the beaches. They have more surf boats for surveillance from in the water. 6 more drone operators. That brings it to 19 drone operators on Long Island. Just stuff.
Wow.
Federal, state, county, and local partnerships are all going to add, like, share all of their resources and, like, try to cover more shark sightings. It's unbelievable. This one person said 10 or 15 years ago, they never spotted sharks. Now, close to the waters on Long Island, they're not only spotting sharks, but whales and dolphins. And they said in the 60s, there were no whale, shark, or dolphin sightings on Long Island.
Wow, I wonder what the heck's going on.
I don't know. It could be.
Dude, those drones are unbelievable now because I'm not obviously a shark expert, but don't sharks run in packs? There's not just one rogue shark running around, right? Don't they come together?
I think they do. It depends on their breed. Like, I think bull sharks team up. I think tiger sharks team up a lot. Great whites, I think they have families, but shit. I mean, like I said, I'm not a shark.
Are there any boots you can buy, like steel boots? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if you, like, walk waders, like steel waders, like I could go in and be like, all right, at least I'm good from the knee down.
No, they do chain links. They put chain links on. That's how like the divers, that's all like chain link. And like, even like every once in a while, a shark can break through the chain link, but normally they can't. So like, well, it's, bro, like, you know, when you see a video, dog, the guys with the dog.
If you see a video of me in 2 weeks with chain link, with a chain link fence around my body, you're going to be like, look at this idiot we saw with a chain link fence walking in the thing. I was like, yeah, Chinch told me this shit works on shark attacks.
No, you should get like one of those old school, like the helmet, like you see in like the pirate movies when they're walking on the ground underneath. Yeah. That's going to be you with the helmet and the breathing tubes, whatever. But you know,
I'm going to go out with armor, like knight armor. I'm not kidding, dude. I'm serious. I'm definitely going to buy some shoes.
You may as well.
I just don't. I mean, I don't know if that's going to help me, but maybe it's going to help me a little bit. If, you know,
It sucks,
Or crabs.
Crabs are the worst.
But dude, isn't getting bit by a shark harder than getting struck by lightning?
That's what they say. Except it doesn't translate to what's going on Long Island now. And like Jersey, I think they moved up from Jersey because last year they were a little more in Jersey. So you might be safe here. I think they're all just sitting outside my backyard right now, waiting for Italian Long Island kids to eat.
They're like, when they see you jump in his car, like, he's on his way.
Dude, but my whole life, I every summer, like me and my brother, all my friends, we all surfed. It's all I did. I loved it.
Really?
I loved surfing, and I have not done it in like 10 years.
Why? Now. Dude, I heard it's like therapeutic too. It's like nice to get in the water.
It's beautiful. It's the greatest thing. Yeah. But now, and you know, back in the day, like, I would be out there, and there'd be certain days where I'd be out, and if it was just like me by myself or me and my brother or something, and you just kind of look around, you do get that because you're 20, 30 yards out at least on most surf breaks, at least on Long Island, probably Jersey too, and you're just sitting there, and every once in a while you would get an eerie feeling, but that's like once a year. But for the rest of the time, I never thought about it. I would never be worried about it. And sometimes the breaks are out like, you know, a quarter of a mile out there, and you're out in the water. And like now, I just don't have the guts to go in the ocean. At least here, I think Jersey. Like I said, there hasn't been much.
It's not that, bro. Jersey, New York. I know you said that. Right next to each other. They really are.
I know. And sharks swim like 25 miles an hour.
I got a question. I got a scenario for you. I want to see what you would do. Because talk about attacks. You're a dog lover and a cat lover, obviously. Your cat's all over you all the time. But so, dude, I'm not really a dog lover. Uh-huh. I'm becoming a dog lover. Like, my dog, Macy, the three-legged dog, is the first dog I've ever had, right? And I share it with my ex, so she comes, like, every other week. So I'm, like, kind of dog-sitting at times, but I look at her as part of my family.
Sure.
And so, dude, she's got three legs, you know what I mean? So this one day, I'm coming up, bro. Now, mind you, I haven't had a dog because when I was like 6 years old, when we just moved to Pittsburgh, my parents were across the street at a Christmas party. I went out to take out the garbage. My dad's like, take out the garbage. So I take the garbage and I walked over to say hi to them. But for whatever reason, I must have missed them. I knock on the door. This little dog, because I was rah, 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 takes a chunk out of my calf. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I'm like, Jesus. I'm like down for the count. I'm rolling around the grass and like I'm on fire. The guy comes out, Mr. Webb. He's like, what the hell? I was like, your dog just bit my calf. I'm like, he takes the dog, you know, and throws him in with it. You know, so dude, I'm bleeding everywhere. They get me out of there. No big deal. Next year, my parents went to that same party. The dog was tranquilized in the garage. Yeah. So, dude, so I never liked dogs because I think because I was like traumatized when I was six. I got bit, right? So no big deal. So anyway, the other day, this is about a month ago. I can't believe I didn't tell you this story. Okay. About a month ago, this new neighbor moved in over here about four houses up. Nice guy. You know, I didn't know him then, but I know him now because of this incident. I'm turning the corner. I have a nice, you know, leisurely thing. Just picked up two poops. I got no problem with it. You know, we're having a great time. Turn the corner. Well, I got an elderly neighbor and his wife have these two little dogs. Uh-huh. I don't know. Would that be like a Shih Tzu or something like that? I don't know. So they're coming. They're like, dude, these two dogs bolt out of the back. These boxers, two huge boxers. Oh. They come flying up on these two little dogs and they start eating, them. I swear to God, like putting in their freaking mouth, the dog's head in their mouth. So I'm like, I'm turning the corner, bro. And I'm like, oh, what the? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So the guy that's walking is a tough dude. I know him. He picks up the dog and just starts punching the boxers, right? Oh yeah. And I'm like, and all I could think changed is like, do I run and help them? Because it looks like he has another thing. But I also have Macy who will engage and she'll probably lose a freaking limb these two. Dude, I start running like a freaking like there's a fire. I start running the other way, looking for weapons in people's garbage. I'm like, where's the weapon? It was a garbage day. I found this tire. I was, then next thing I know, I was carrying this tire around. I hit these dogs. But dude, I ended up feeling like the biggest idiot. I'm like, should I have engaged with these dogs? Ugh. It looked like the guy had it under control. His wife screaming bloody murder.
Oh my God, it's a terrifying thing when dogs attack.
It's terrifying, dude.
They're like piranhas. They their eyes roll back. They lose.
Dude, they were not letting go either. They kept coming. Like, he was punching these dogs, and they'd be like, "Grr." So I was like, "Do I go help and start punching dogs? And then my dog's gonna probably lose another limb. We'll have two legs by the end of this thing. We'll be a total shit show." Yeah.
You know. Well, I got two things.
What would you have done? Have you ever had that happen to you, bro?
I have been in situations where dogs have gone after. I first and foremost, like when I lived in a city and I had Bella just the beagle, and I would go to these dog parks. I was like militant about like people like, hey, pay attention to your dog. Like, it's the owner's. Most of the time, it's the owner's neglect that creates a situation like that, but not all the time. Sometimes dogs just snap because they're dogs.
Yeah,
but,
well, the dogs got out of the there was they were gated in, but the gate was open. And they knocked it open. They came flying out.
Yeah, so it's nobody's fault there. It just happens. There's a couple of different schools of thought on it. I know one thing. First of all, you're never supposed to get in between the two dogs because the dog who's attacking will just latch on to whatever you're putting in between there. That I know for a fact. I read this one thing recently where it said if you pull on the attacking dog's tail, it'll shock them into going like, what was that? And then the other dog can get away.
What if they have one of those little nubs?
That's the problem. Then you're in it.
Do I just hit him in the butt?
Yeah, maybe kick him. I don't know what else. It's a terrifying thing when that happens. It's really sad, and it's scary. Like, oh man,
it's so scary. My adrenaline was through the roof.
Yeah.
I was running the other way though, but my adrenaline was still.
What were you gonna do with a tire? What, like, put it around?
I don't know, dude. I needed a weapon at that point. I don't know. It's the only thing I could find. It's a freaking tire. It was like a plastic tire. But I was gonna swing the shit out of it.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I do know is like, and it's kind of like the Caesar Milan where you go. Like if you kind of like tap a dog on their hips, like if you poke them, like if you have a long stick or something, that's how some trainers train with like long poles or sticks, so they keep the dogs kind of like organized. Some people think that's like a cruel way of training, but if a dog's in the middle of an attack, you might have to jack them against something, especially if it attacks like a kid or something like that, you know. Which happens.
Well, my daughter had just gotten off the bus. That's what I was worried. I was waiting all for her to come. That go through your head. And she had already been off. And I told her this happened. She said the dogs ran at her first.
Mm.
They ran right at her full bore. These two huge boxes.
Oh my God, bro. That's terrifying.
And my 12-year-old daughter, she said she was terrified, but she just kept walking.
Oh, good for
her. So I'm like, well, what if they attacked her? But who knows? Should have, could have, would, I guess.
Oh my God. See, but the thing is, like, so my Macy is a big dog. I don't let anybody walk up, like we usually keep them out back, so we don't walk them that much. We have so many little kids in the neighborhood, and like, or when we have like kids of our family here and stuff, like I'm very like, just too, one of us is always keeping an eye on the dogs. Just why not, you know? Like,
right,
why
not? Right.
Especially like if you have like a family party and there's food around and then excitement and like,
yeah, Johnny drops a hot dog and a fucking Macy goes for it and you're like, yeah, oh my God,
it's so true. Exactly. So we are like,
watch your hand.
We're constantly on watch, but at least were the little dogs okay at the end? Please tell me.
Oh yeah, they were okay, but they were literally like, he was holding them and they were like, they were shaking.
Oh, especially those little guys, they're shaking your hand like that. Like,
yeah. Chihuahuas. Oh my God.
Oh man. Scary. Wow. We're telling some scary stories right now. How about we flip the script, go a little positive, talk a little baseball before we.
Yes.
And you were fired up.
Did you watch the Derby the other day?
I watched some of the Derby. I didn't watch it all the way through, not from like soup to nuts.
I didn't, I didn't watch any of it. I'm watching this show. I like to go to bed early, so I was like, I gotta pick the Derby or the Terminal with Chris Pratt on Prime Video. Have you been watching that?
No, is it good?
It's good, dude. Yeah, you gotta check it out. Tooth, do you have HBO?
Yes.
Okay, dude. There's a new show on there called We Own the City. Mm. Have you heard about it?
No.
Bro, it's the people from The Wire did it.
Oh, great.
But it's true stories. It's six true stories. It's a limited series. Just watched the first episode the other day. My buddy Soda told me to watch it. Uh-huh. Bro, so sick. Good.
Wow, that's...
You got to watch. It's called We Own This City.
That's cool. I'm going to look that up. I got one more for you. Steve Carell, you know, from The Office
and
everything else. Carell. Great actor. He's in, I want to say it's on Hulu. Do you have Hulu?
Probably. I think I have everything. It's ridiculous. Probably. I look at my monthly bill. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? What? Have you ever looked at your credit card? You go, what? Well, how is it $1,000 already? What did I do? I didn't go to dinner in a month. I had $1,000 bill.
It's such a scam. The cable scam. TV is such a scam. But anyways.
Biggest scam ever.
Steve Carell plays like a psychologist or psychiatrist. And he takes on this young kid, maybe late teens, early 20s kid who was like troubled and who has seems to be like serial killer tendencies, whatever. And all of a sudden, I just watched the trailer the other night. The trailer was like a minute long. And at the end of the trailer, Steve Carell's like, you know, talking with him through something. And you look down and Steve Carell is chained to his chair. So this like serial killer chained him to a chair to try to every time he feels like killing somebody, he's got Steve Carell like in his like meat locker, and he has a fucking session with him. It looks pretty impressive. I got to check it out. I
think have you watched the episode yet?
No, I think it comes out like in a day or two. I just saw the trailer.
Oh my god,
I like dark shit, man. I like watching dark shit. It's weird.
I know. The other three recommendations you had were basically Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger's back, and he's kicking ass and something else. I'm like, oh my God. What the hell? Does Chinch have bodies in his freaking basement or something?
Oh, it's funny you say that. Oh my God. I got to tell this one quick story. So when I first started dating Jess, her mom was like, why? This guy's older than you. He's pretty successful. He's got a good job, good career. How come he's never been married? Because I think he's married until I was 37. And then she started sending Jess, because she knew I was from Long Island. You know those Gilgo Beach murders that are unsolved from the last, I'm not kidding, from the last like 20 years? There have been documentaries made. Jess is like, are you sure he's not the Gilgo Beach killer? That's what her mom was saying to her. Still to this day, whenever there's a Gilgo Beach, you know, they might have found some more remains of like these murders from years ago. She'll send it to me. She'll be like, where were you yesterday? This is my mother-in-law.
I'm more worried about you going missing with Jess. I'm like, hey, where'd Chitch go? Jess decided to freak him off him. Put cement boots on him. He's in the Hudson.
Just throw me in the Atlantic Ocean with some chum around my neck and let the sharks get me. Anyway, oh, all right. God. So, from sharks to big poppies, big fish, big
tuna. Yeah, dude. Well, I was reading an article that was talking about big poppy. Mm. You know, came up with the Mariners. I remember this. Remember Kevin Grabowski, pitching for the Braves, pitched like a few years. He used to talk about, yeah, played a big poppy in the minors. I go, did you play with the Mariners? Like, yeah. Big Poppy was the player to be named later in like 1996 for David Hollins to the Mariners to the Twins.
Wow.
And then the Twins, those guys are good dudes, but TK, Tom Kelly, for whatever reason, didn't like David Ortiz. That's the bottom line. That's the reason he was released by the Twins. Because I played against David Ortiz in 97 when it was like Torrey Hunter, Jock Jones, David Ortiz, all these studs, dude, down in New Britain.
Oh, right.
And, David Ortiz. I'm like, dude, that's the best player in minor league baseball. He could crush a baseball. He gets to the big leagues. He's doing well, but like kind of played, kind of didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't love his defense, but David could pick it at first. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. So like, so ridiculous when I look back how the Mariners got rid of him and then the freaking Twins. I mean, dude, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to see the talent that David Ortiz had. So when he went to Boston and then Pedro was his buddy from the DR, was like, this guy's a stud. Pedro, and the rest is history. He's going into Cooperstown next week.
Yeah, Pedro, even Ortiz in like one of his quotes just says like, you know, oh, here is it. Yeah. Well, my path to success was not straightforward. It was my friend, the Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez, who got me there. Because Pedro went to, when he found out he was released, Pedro went bananas and was like, sign him, whoever, anybody, like this guy. Plus, you know, Pedro was such an ambassador to all the people that came from the DR anyway. He was like, you know, helped so many guys along the way through the years. But he saw David, and think about the two of them together. And hey, put Manny in there, you know, say whatever you want about the PD. Dude. But Manny, Pedro, and Poppy
and David
on one team for it's all over. Those years, it was so amazing. I mean, arguably awesome. The best 3-4. You know, during the time, you know.
Bro, one of the coolest things for me, bro, is like playing with the Red Sox. I remember when I was in, we took a trip to Japan to open the season up. And we were hitting early. Oh, Poppy, and Manny hit early one day in the cages. And I just loved it, man. Because, you know, I'm a student of hitting. I love to know mentalities, too. Like, what are you thinking up there, dude? I know we all have good swings. We all have elite bat speed. What makes you different? What's your mentality? You know, and I know that Manny used to work off the curveball machine a lot in Cleveland, because I came up with Manny in Cleveland. Right. And I know that the curveball machine was his big thing to try and stay, you know, stay closed and shoot at the right center. That's why he was so good at going to right center. And you really couldn't trick him. David, you know, but what I loved is it was one of the coolest conversations I ever had. And they just talked about, hey, use your hands and let the ball travel. You know, and I know guys say, hey, get it out front. I'm saying you get it out front too, but you still have to let the ball travel. Sure. And two of the greatest hitters of all time, it was such a cool thing. Yeah. Me, David, and Manny sitting there talking hitting, and they were saying, let the ball travel, use your hands. And I think about, bro, some of the greatest players in the game. So I got Manny Ramirez and David in that conversation. I go back to like being in the same group with Ken Griffey Jr. all those years, though, like, and how impressive he was. Like, getting a chance to talk to him. I was just talking to somebody the other day about Tony Gwynn. I can't remember who I was talking to. Was it Michael Young? It was Michael Young. And I was in Tony Gwynn's group in the 2004 All-Star game. It's like, man, I was picking his brain. Like, dude, I am the luckiest human being alive to be able to play Major League Baseball and just be in conversations with like your peers that are in Cooperstown, like that eliteness, and just so cool, man. Just dude, so you freaking cool.
With Johnny Bench, you sit with even the older guys.
It's unbelievable, dude. I've George Brett, you know, always told me, hey, short to it, long through it, hunt the heater, hunt, you know, like so many different conversations. Don Mattingly, hey, if you're struggling, get jammed. You know, so many things, conversations I took that I took to my career, like, so fortunate.
What was your BP? What did you do? Like, what was your specific thing? Did you go the other way the whole time? No, it was
the other way first two rounds. But then I was like, you know, you become like a Jedi Knight, dude. It's unbelievable. Like, now I'm just trying to hit a liner. Like, if I went with my kids, I'm like, watch this, kids. And I'm like, it hurts so bad. But back in the day when you're hitting every day, you know, you were literally, you're literally like splitting hairs of you're so legit. Like, you're literally like a Jedi warrior. And I just would be like, okay, I'm going three to left center here, three to right center. I'm going to go, you know, I loved me, Ken Griffey Jr., Dunner, and Kearnsy were a group.
That's sick.
And we would always go, the last round was always, okay, home runs the grown folks territory. That's what Griff used to say. Grown folks territories was dead center.
Okay.
So if you didn't hit it dead center, it didn't count. But it was pretty cool.
Oh, my God. Because,
you know, your brain will tell your body what to do, but we would just go dead center. But it was cool because it was teaching you, like, man, you can really drive the ball to that part of the park. But Griff was unbelievable. I mean, Junior could just launch him to center field. And Dunner hit a ball off Smoltz and Lima. It was almost the same ball, bro.
Dead center. And
both change-ups, both dead center. Out of the stadium, bro, dead center, didn't bounce, crazy. Nothing, out of the stadium, dead center. So that was fun looking back, just like, you know, having some of those conversations. And also that, like I said, hitting in that group was a lot of fun because, you know, you challenge yourself physically and mentally, you know, to see what you could do.
Was Dunner, of all the guys you played with, did he actually have the most power? Or was it like Griffey or Poppy? You played with so many guys that it
bombed. Oh, my God, Tomei. Dude. There was Willie Mo Pena had the most power.
Wow, yes.
Willie Mo Pena, bro. I mean, obviously, come on. Junior is unbelievable. Yeah. You know, Dunner's power. Dude, so think about this, bro. We were like on a football team. Griff's a big dude. Griff is 6'3", and he's big. Big shoulders, like senior. So we had Griffey, we had Dunner, who's every bit of 6'5", and just an absolute house of a man. Kearnsy was a monster of a dude too, right? Then you had Willie Mo Pena, who Mo Pena hit a ball one time in Cincinnati. I swear to God, this lady was in left center, like a place where no one hits them. She was eating nachos with a freaking beer in the corner. She was thought she was safe. She was literally as far up as you could be, left center, tied deck. She was like nachos to the salsa, into the jalapenos, about there. Willie Mo Pena just hit a ball in a game, dude. Oh. Crushed this lady like in the chest, I think. She literally wasn't paying attention because why would you be in left center field at Great American Ballpark?
Oh, my God.
It was like, so Dunner and Willie Mo would hit the ball as first I've ever seen. Griffey was just so sweet and beautiful. I mean, it was like two guys I remember. Watching Jacoby Ellsbury run in Boston was beautiful. So it was just one of those things. And watching Griffey hit in Cincy, it's just poetry in motion, man. Poetry and motion. And then David could crush a ball. Manny, I played with some great, great power hitters, bro. Like, really, crazy. Really did. It's like, so
you came up. Jim Tomei was there when you came up.
Jim Tomei. All those guys. Don't forget about that. And also Ruben Rivera, bro. If 5 o'clock hitting was the big leagues, this guy's the best player ever. He would hit the ball like 550 feet. I'm like, I could see why the Yankees. But then he'd get in the game and it'd be over four punchouts. I'm like, Ruben, just touch the ball. Put it in play. Your power is so ridiculous. You know, it was stupid.
Yeah. Who's the fastest player you ever played with?
Well, Jacoby Ellsbury could fly, dude. Dion. But Dion was the fastest, dude. Yeah. Dion hit a ball one time in spring training. Left center. And bro, it was like, this is what he, this is what it sounded like. It was like, and then he was on third. It was just like beautiful, dude. He hit it left center. I would have been diving into second, like play at second, like, you know, have to like ungracefully stop, drop, and roll like I was on fire. He was literally on third, and it was so quiet, bro.
Unbelievable.
It was so quiet and so smooth, and it was so unbelievable. Dude, it was unbelievable.
He would come off a football field, play 97 games, and this one year he hit 304 with 14 triples. Like, bro, he's a freak.
I don't know if we appreciate. I know we appreciate Dino as a football player. Mm. He played 10 years in the show, dude.
Yes, I'm looking at it right
now. It's tough to even get there. Dion did it 10 years. I mean, yeah. He has a full pension in two professional sports.
It's unbelievable.
Full pension. Right? I'm like, Dion, can I get, and hopefully in his divorce, he didn't lose half of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, you know what I saw the other day, which I forgot about? Remember Bo Jackson's homer at the All-Star game to dead center? Like, it was first All-Star game. And somebody posted it online. First of all, it was a bomb. The craziest thing was in the booth, like during the call of that, was Ronald Reagan was in a booth. And it was, dude,
I can't believe you just said Ronald Reagan. You're not going to believe this. I have a thing downstairs with Griffey on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I just looked at it today. Like, you know, sometimes like, oh, that's cool. Griff chasing 500 in 2004. In the corner of the thing, it says Ronald Reagan. 1911 to 2004. He had just died. I haven't thought of Ronald Reagan in freaking
that's really 20 weird. Years.
You just mentioned him. I'm like, oh my God, I just thought of Ronald Reagan this
morning. That's bizarre. Oh boy. All right. Anyway, we got to get rolling. We got more shows. We're banging shows out left and right, man.
We're banging them out. We got Susan Waldman. Susan Waldman, if you haven't heard this one, check it out this week. Mm-hmm. So good. Susan's so awesome. Such a great storyteller. Yeah. Such a great personality. So great. And then, you know, we got Michael Young coming up, and we're stacking them right now. We're stacking them.
And we'll always do our fun bags. We'll never leave you guys on a fun bag.
Yes.
I'm going to go hop in the ocean. Take my chance.
Yeah, right, dude. I noticed your like thing. Back in the day, you used to surf, you used to ride bikes, you used to freaking skateboard, all your stuff. Now you sit at home and you go to your pool and you turn on music.
That's literally all I do with my life. And I do this. I love it. Guess what? Ain't no sharks in that water back there in my backyard. I know that for a fact.
I love it, dude.
All right, man.
All right, Chance. Awesome, love you, brother.
Love you, buddy.
Oh, man. I'll talk to you, bud.